You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3 o'clock on your Monday afternoon.
I don't think I'd point it to you
guaranteed.
Yet.
Rake. Rake meat face.
It's beautiful.
To quote Sideshow Bob.
It's a mistake-free Monday.
My finger had not come down yet.
It's actually Frank Anderson Appreciation Day here on The Drive. It is Hunter Ensley Appreciation Day here on The Drive. As the Vols have climbed the mountain once again, ladies and gentlemen, number one in all the land. It actually should be, really, when you think about it, Tony Vitello Appreciation Day. But let's face it, every day here on The Drive is Tony Vitello Appreciation Day. Even when it's not baseball season. Even in the middle of November. We love the man. Houston Kress is back.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello, Houston. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
Rested? Relaxed?
None
prepared.
Of those. Prepared. I'll be honest. I'm not. Oh, I was pretty unplugged from the – I mean, I'm as prepared as I can be. I'm going to do a good job. I just didn't get a chance to watch much sports over the weekend. I was busy.
You got a trophy for us? You bring home the gold? What?
Silver.
What? Silver?
First loser.
Silver?
We got second place. Bear, I haven't.
Second place. That's first loser, Kress.
Well.
You took a week off, left me here alone with, you know, Russ. And.
That is my name.
Second place, man. The sacrifices that Tucker and I made last week.
So here's what happened. My team actually caught more weight than the winning team. But one of our members, who will remain nameless.
How many people are on a fishing team?
It's teams of six.
You got five teammates.
Do you have a cheater on your team?
No. So they invert the order. Like there were 86 boats in the tournament. So you start at 1 and you go through 86 on the first day. You start at 86 and you go backwards through 1 on the second day. Then they come in four flights, 215, 230, 245, and 3. When they invert the flight order on the second day, you move to a different flight. So you would come in 15 minutes earlier or later than the previous day based on where we were.
I'm thoroughly confused, but go on.
So we had a guy who didn't know that the time changed, and he was 14 minutes late, so they were assessed a 14-point penalty. We lost by 6 points.
Ugh.
That sounds like a real Derek Dooley kind of
thing.
It was a real kick to the groin.
The groin?
Knowing that you did everything. Well, not everything, but we did enough to win and didn't get – so we got a little –
Well, publicly shame this guy.
We got
But you would have won if the guy had been there on time.
Yes.
For a fishing tournament.
Yes. Was it you?
Was he supposed to be there?
He was supposed to be. It was check in, so it was in the afternoon.
This is in the afternoon. It's not in the morning. It's not like he overslept. He was just
late. No. Yeah, he was supposed to be back in at 2:30. He got back in at 2:44.
Oh, okay. I see where the rub is now.
Yeah.
He had 14 extra minutes of line in the water.
Right, and so you get penalized a pound or a point in this case per minute. It's a pound per point as far as weight, and if you're penalized, it's a point per minute.
Brutal.
I thought you were going to tell me that he'd been loading his fish down with corn.
No.
You know that's a thing?
That's freaking brutal.
I haven't heard corn.
Did you, what's the protocol here? You take him out back and work him over? Kick him off the team?
He felt terrible. And it wasn't one of those things.
I hope so.
It wasn't one of those things where he just, I was a little further away than I thought, and it just took me longer to get back. He was actually a minute early in his head, if that makes sense. Like he thought it was 2:45. He shows up at 2:44 to make sure he's on time. He just didn't know that the order inverted.
How do you keep track of? It seems like that would be hard to do on a lake.
Of what?
Of time?
How long it's going to take you to get?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, my boat is, I can go faster than 60. So if I'm 4 miles away, I know I can make it in under 4 minutes.
How fast is that thing?
Fastest I've ever had it was 74.
Sounds dangerous.
It's moving.
Yeah, I don't drive it that fast normally. I like really good conditions if I'm going to do that. Plus, it's Kentucky Lake. It's a huge lake. It got windy, so it's choppy, and I'm not going to.
So what do you get for second place? Just a plaque?
A plaque.
Congratulations. No cash prize?
A little bit. Nothing crazy.
A little bit, huh?
It would have been a lot more if we'd have gotten first.
You have to split it six ways, though?
Yeah, yeah.
What are we talking, like $1,000?
I think it would. I think first place was like $2,500 split, okay. And we had to split. I think like $7.
Butler's
a little
chiming
bit of gas
in.
Money.
Yeah,
you know.
He said that he didn't, you know, take time out of his busy schedule to come in and fill in for you to show up with a silver.
I don't feel like you're mad enough about this. I want to see some fire and some venom out of you. I wanted you to put this guy's name on wax. Put him on blast. Rip him. Does he live locally? Is he a friend?
Yeah, he's here. Yeah, both.
Have we met him?
Somebody I know?
No. You guys don't know.
He wasn't at the wedding?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Well, if he wasn't at the wedding,
he's not your real friend.
Yeah. No, we hung out together.
You're not friend anymore. I mean, the guy who let you down.
You're no friend of the drive. You cost us a championship, my friend.
Is he listening right now? Does he know what you're doing? Is he tuning into this?
I doubt it.
Feeling
probably poorly. Probably at work, but he felt terribly. Like he felt really, really
not
bad.
Not half as bad as I feel right now, knowing that we should have a gold cup here in the studio against Kentucky of all people. You lost to Kentucky.
Mm. Well, I guess we do have one prize this afternoon, and that is Tennessee rising to number one in all the major polls this week after a series win on the road at Florida, capped off by a dominant 16-3 run rule victory over the Gators in the rubber match on Saturday. And Tennessee is on a roll. Now, we have talked about this for a while now here. Do we want to be number one? Do we want the pressure of that number one overall seed? Because we're number one now. You've got Vanderbilt on the road. They are struggling. I think Tennessee wins that series. You got South Carolina, not your daddy's South Carolina, coming in here to close things out in front of what will be a raucous Lindsey Nelson Stadium environment. I don't see this team losing either one of those series. I don't think the SEC tournament matters that much. I am here to tell you, Tennessee fans, today that barring some unforeseen collapse, which maybe that's what the more superstitious of you are pulling for at this point, I think Tennessee is going to be that number one overall seed.
I don't know. Have you seen the RPI?
No.
I don't know what the selection committee uses more in baseball. I'd imagine it's a little bit of a hodgepodge of everything. I mean, I know there's, six or seven different polls. And the RPI were eighth.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams ahead of Tennessee.
RPI, it's like we're in danger of losing a one seed.
We're number one in the country, but we're number two in the conference.
That's also true.
Right.
It's very strange.
So Kentucky can theoretically still go into the SEC tournament with that one seed.
We're not even two in the conference. We're two in the East. What are we overall? Like third or fourth?
No. After this weekend.
Okay, so it is two. Okay.
Yeah. Kentucky beat Kentucky won the Arkansas series, and then A&M lost to LSU.
Yep, yeah.
So there was chaos in front of us.
That's wild.
Still a lot that can happen. You're talking about a Tennessee team that leads the league in batting average, leads the league in slugging percentage, leads the league in hits, leads the league in run scores, leads the league in home runs, leads the league in total bases. I believe we are second in ERA. Near the top of everything, you know, whip, all the strikeout numbers, everything look very good for Tennessee. And I say leads the league. I mean, they're at or near the top in the nation for all those statistical categories as well. And what can you say about Tony Vitello and Frank Anderson and the job that these coaches have done building this program to where we're number one. I mean, there was a time when number one stopped the presses. Oh, my God, let's go have a parade and I don't think people are about being number one right now. But
we're superstitious about being number one.
They're superstitious, but there's also just an expectation of excellence that has been cultivated here over the past couple of years under Tony Vitello, where it's not that big a surprise.
It's kind of similar to Barnes, right? Like every offseason we wonder with all the departures and graduates, it's, are we going to be able to get back there? Are we going to be in the top five in baseball? Are we going to be top of the SEC? Are we going to be number one? And every year you end up right there in the mix. I mean, basketball wins the regular season championship. Tony's got him number one, second in the league. I mean, it's just – it's crazy.
And it's
there's no step back. There's no reload year, it seems like, right now with those two programs.
By the way,
it's been going like this, I guess, since what? Really, since Danny and Heupel got here and Plowman and Boyd.
2021 was a turning point. Yeah, 2021 was a turning point for the baseball program. That's where it arrived, and everybody got caught up in the moment. So this is the fourth year of this, of Tennessee baseball being a big happening here locally. And, I mean, how much fun was that sixth inning on Saturday?
It was tremendous.
I mean,
just a casual 11 spot.
It's just
what's wild is
my goodness.
The bottom half of our order was just hot garbage on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, awful.
Well, that's what I kept seeing on Friday was – I can't remember what the strikeout numbers were through the first – I don't know, 23 innings. It was a crazy number.
Yeah,
it's like, well, you got one out of two. Let's see if we can get three, and then
watching him or paying attention to him, we probably should have won.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it was like 24 strikeouts in 14 innings at one point on Friday.
It all came crashing down though in that six.
No, man, and it was good because I think there was some worry, some doubt, some fear creeping in about, I just don't know.
On Friday on the show.
Yeah, I just don't know if we've got the guns for a deep run, but then you take a step back and look at the big picture, and it's like, well, I guess there's a reason we're number one, huh?
I didn't get to watch Saturday. Did Caglione pitch?
Yes.
Was he still in the sixth?
Almost.
No.
Okay.
No, he started the inning. Six.
Yeah.
And he was almost – there was one point in that inning where before we did all the damage, I think they could have gotten out of it or gotten us to two outs maybe.
Well, there was – I mean, it was – the Tears was up with the bases loaded and I think two out. And
dude launched it.
And he struck him out. Tears swung at ball four, and the pitch gets away from the catcher. And so you have to throw him out. And the catcher gets it and throws it into right field. So two runs end up scoring on the passed ball. And they showed, like, O'Sullivan in the dugout just, like, threw his pin down. Just like, oh, my God. Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
I mean, he threw it, like, it looked like it was, like, halfway in between first and second. It wasn't even close, dude. He just airmailed that thing.
Indecision. It'll get you every time.
It was a lot of fun.
Queens University from Charlotte. Bunch of fat bottom girls coming in here. We'll see if another one bites the dust tomorrow night for Tennessee.
Queens University.
Killer Queens.
I was going to say, I hope they're not a killer queen.
Hope not. Hopefully after
Dynamite with a laser beam
last week, we'll be a little bit more focused on the midweek game.
I would hope so. Yeah, that was unexpected. I finally got like settled in at the Airbnb we stayed at, and I looked down at my phone, and what was it, 9-6 was the final or something like that?
Yeah.
I was like, how the heck did this happen?
Very
frustrated.
And I
saw we gave up four home runs. It's like, well, that'll do it. Yeah, we need to we're number one now. You can't afford to slip up. We're back in the position of target on your back. Everybody's gunning for you. Mm. That's just what this program has become.
So you do think it is possible that we could hold on to the number one ranking, not claim that, you know, maybe you lose one this week at Vandy. Maybe you lose one against South Carolina. You win those series, whatever happens in Hoover happens, and you could still go into the NCAA tournament ranked number one, but not the number one overall seed.
I think it's very possible. That's why I don't.
What is the stat? Is the number one overall seed hasn't won it all in 30 years?
I think that is the stat.
It
but
is.
Like most of these selection committees, I have no idea what they value more. Is it RPI? You know, it was RPI. Now in basketball, it's net. Is it where they're ranked? Is it their record? Is it record against opponents?
I have no idea, because you would think that that midweek loss would have dinged us.
And it really didn't.
I don't even think they look at that.
We took two out of three from Florida and dropped a spot in the RPI. Like, it doesn't make any – maybe in the RPI it dinged us. Maybe that's why we dropped.
Well, we've been fortunate with our scheduling, because we have avoided both Texas A&M and Arkansas.
True.
This year. So I could see how these – if there is such a thing as strength of schedule, and I'm looking at the RPI right now, I don't really understand what I'm looking at here, but I you know, if that's something that somebody on some committee or whoever decides this stuff is looking at, I could see how that could be held against us.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of stinks. I mean, it's not like you knew any of that going into the season. You didn't know A&M would be this good, although I do think Schlossnagel's a very, very good coach. Arkansas, they're always good. But we drew LSU this year. Normally, you can count on LSU being very, very good. I mean, they're coming off a national championship, and they just, you know, they happen to stink.
They're still projecting to go to the NCAA tournament, as crazy as that
really
sounds. Yeah.
So's, I mean.
Well, and wasn't Florida preseason top three?
Yeah. I want to say there's like either 10 or 11 teams projecting to get into the field right now.
And Vanderbilt's just, I mean,
they're in free fall mode.
Thoroughly average.
Yeah.
Florida is unranked at this point. LSU is unranked. The two teams from the championship series in Omaha last year.
That's crazy.
Out of the polls. Vanderbilt out of the polls. So South Carolina does not – I'm not seeing them in the polls. So not a lot of chance to drive up your rankings here towards the end of the season. But I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. I don't want that number one overall seed. Mm-mm. I don't need that mojo, Ricky Bobby. Don't put that on me.
Mm-mm. I don't think we'll get it. Even if I think you'll probably see us seeded somewhere between like 3 and 7.
So what, do you want to win the next two series and then just tank and Hoover?
I hate saying the word tank and Hoover. I mean, I'd like them to not lose another game until they get to Hoover. I don't know if I want them to tank.
Well, if they go 6-0 from here, we're doesn't matter what goes on in Hoover, we're probably going to be the number one. We'll be the number one team going in.
I don't know, but like Russ said, like.
So we got left.
Is South Carolina ranked now? Because Vandy's not. Like, you're going to get dinged a little bit on RPI because you're not playing good teams the rest of the way.
I'm sorry. South Carolina is 10th. So they're
okay,
having
they're
a nice
10th. So that'll help.
That'll give you, well, assuming you win the series.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, D1 has them at 13.
Okay.
Let me go to Hoover, play a couple of games, make sure everybody keeps their arms loose, and then I could care less. Come on home. Let's get ready for the postseason.
And if you keep winning there, just don't do anything crazy. Just go to the bottom of the bullpen if you have to. But don't worry about, if we pitch this guy Thursday, could we get him back for something? Like, don't even worry about that.
I guess there could be some benefit if you're going down there and we give the Dallas kid a start, some of these, you know, Marcus Phillips, some of these guys that we haven't been relying on the weekend, but give them an opportunity to pitch in that setting against SEC competition
with pressure.
Yeah, I mean,
because we're probably going to have to. That's the one thing I do worry about. Is the one thing I'm worried about is our pitchers. Do we have enough?
That's why I agree with Russ. Get those guys some opportunities.
The other thing is, you probably we go into these weekend series with Stamos and Sechrist thinking we will pull these guys in the first inning without thinking, and we will let Causey and Snead, a.k.a. the real starters, finish those games. I think it's different in Hoover. I think you're going to say, all right, I'm going to try and get through 4 or 5 innings with these guys, even if they give up some hits and stuff. And if we lose the game, we lose the hits. It's whatever. But I don't know that you're going in there necessarily looking to yank those guys at the first opportunity. Or maybe you could, and you bring them back later. You start Stamos that first game, he pitches an inning, and you go to Causey, and he wins it for you. Maybe you pitch Stamos 2 or 3 days later. Mm-hmm.
Suppose there's rumblings that Russell maybe, like,
apparently he's throwing.
First bullpen last week.
I've heard he could make an appearance in the South Carolina series.
Would that be
if we get
not as a starter, but
yeah, but that'd be very, very
if
good.
Get one, if we could just get him back to be a one inning, just one inning guy, just absolute, just. Smoky.
I wonder I wonder what like his agent is telling him. Does that help him in the draft to show that you can go up there. And I was like, no, I'm good. I was pitching at the end of the season. Or teams that are considering drafting A.J. Russell, rather just him shut it down and you're fresh when you.
Does he not have 1 year left?
I thought he had one. I thought he was a sophomore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he's not draft eligible, right?
I don't believe so.
I thought I read somewhere Tony had said, like, he has a pro career and one more year here. We don't want to risk any of that to rush him back this season. Yeah.
The first thing he said was, I'm not going to do anything that would in any way jeopardize his future.
Which is just really smart because we saw what Van Horn did with
the Cops. That was brutal.
I mean,
Corbin did the same thing with Kumar.
I was just about to ask you, what happened to Cops? He was the most unhittable guy on the planet, and then he got. Did he throw back to back games?
What the hell ever happened?
They had
to
him starting. Rocker had all those injury problems.
I think he's coming back, though, now. I think he had Tommy John.
Really?
He's on the comeback trail.
He was dominant 2019.
Kevin Cops is with the Padres organization.
Yeah, the last headline I see from Cops is from last year. It's with him playing with the AAA team in El Paso.
Okay, so he's close.
Yeah, he ain't that far off.
I think that's where Jake Taylor was.
How many
Taylor
pitches
was
did he
in
throw in that game?
It wasn't that game. He pitched like Friday. Did he pitch all three?
The problem is I think they started him in that third game of the Supers, so that's just not his role. Not where he's comfortable.
He got up like above 130 pitches in one of those games. Easy.
Just coaching malpractice is what it was.
I think his
like
total
136.
His total for the weekend was insane.
The guy didn't get hurt, man. The kid from Stanford last year didn't get hurt.
I think it's you that's told me that, like, back in the old days.
R.A. Dickey threw over 160 pitches in a game in the mid-90s. He didn't even have the UCL or whatever that they're always worried about tearing.
Well, wasn't he? His specialty was knuckleballs, though, right?
Not back then. He was a regular pitcher. Mm-hmm, he reinvented himself as a knuckleballer once he got to the big leagues. But no, he was a flame-throwing righty, and I think it was maybe an NCAA tournament game against Oklahoma State or something like that. It's in the record books, like most pitches thrown in a game. He threw over 160 pitches.
He did have that. He did develop that wicked knuckleball, didn't he?
Yeah.
He shows up in a lot of, like, those short, like, YouTube shorts or TikTok videos.
I was reading about, remember El Presidente, Dennis Martinez, the Expos in the mid-90s?
Remember the name.
He pitched in a game where he had a no-hitter going. He had a perfect game going through nine innings, but the Expos hadn't scored. So he ended up – I think he gave up a hit in the 10th inning, a walk or something. He gave a base runner got on in the 10th inning. Expos scored in the bottom 10th, so he had to settle for the no-hitter in 10 innings. But, yeah, I don't think they're going to push A.J. Russell very much whenever he does get back. We got to take a quick time out, folks. It is The Drive. It is a beautiful Monday afternoon. Let's do the thing. 865-288-3131. Your number to get on board. The Vol Rumor Mill is back. Ladies and gentlemen, let us bask in his presence when we continue. A little shake up to the Tennessee basketball transfer portal recruiting plan. Minor nugget that we'll discuss. Then it was a big racing weekend. You had the horse race. You had NASCAR race. Close finishes. Photo finishes.
All the races on Sunday or Saturday to Sunday were incredible.
We had to get granular. They had to zoom in on the line. Controversy. Who was first? Who was second? Game of inches. We'll talk about it, some of the best finishes you'll ever see when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. We're streaming live this afternoon. FanRunRadio.com, your free Fan Run app. A variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. Is your mind rested, relaxed, a little bit crest? Like I always find whenever I take more than, almost a whole week. I think you were here last Monday. I always come back like re-energized, reinvigorated. Or is the loss the and the way it went down is that I'm detecting a, I don't want to say depression, but
no, not depressed. I feel bad for
you're
him.
Bummed.
I feel bad for him.
You and feel bad for yourself too.
Well, yeah, it would have been cool to get the bigger plaque and the trophy and the extra money and
not that I'm bitter.
Not, you know, just
not that I'm angry.
But knowing him, no piling on is gonna make the, you know, it's not like he doesn't get it. He knows he messed up.
You don't have to hold your face in it. You see what you did? Yeah, no. He knows what he did.
I'm going to get you a watch. I guess I'll just have to start like texting him during the day. Like, hey, don't forget. Weigh in. It's bad, too. Like, he's our tournament director for our club.
Yeah.
So he's the one who always sets the times for our tournament.
You need and to makes have a coup.
Make sure that...
Oh, he's the time guy and
yeah,
he was late?
Yeah.
Oh.
You need to usurp him.
I did it for 6 years, so I was glad to give it to somebody else.
Oh, one of those kind of jobs.
Yeah, you got to come up with the schedule and the times and take the money and
are you
do the weigh-in.
How many guys are on a boat?
Two.
Okay.
How many
so you have three boats
on your boat? Mm-hmm.
How many, what?
Could all four of us go on your boat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you both fishing at the same time? Is there
yes.
one guy
yeah.
is kind of like navigating driver or whatever?
Nope,
the other
one in the
fishes?
Front, one in the back.
Okay.
That lake is, you've never, you know what gar are, the fish?
Yeah.
Like alligator gar?
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, they're long, yeah. skinny, and they got a lot of teeth. Thousands.
Fish in general just.
Thousands.
I find them to be disgusting and scary and just weird.
The gar will tear your ass up, right?
I mean, if, not, they won't like bite you in, yeah, like if you grab it wrong or something, yeah, like it could get you. Caught a bunch of catfish.
When you say get me, I mean like that would involve like an emergency room visit.
Oh, nah, probably not. Just a lot of scrapes and bleeding. I got a first aid kit in the boat. We just wrap you up. You'd be good.
I feel like a fish's mouth is kind of dirty. Like you'd be a good source.
I would think
of
a fish's mouth
a vector,
would be as clean as...
A vector for bacteria.
It's as clean as the water.
That makes sense. Bear has famously never caught a fish.
Nope.
So, I wonder... And he has been to the cross-eyed cricket, and he's never caught a fish.
That's impossible.
I swear to God, the only thing I caught down there was a hook in my hand, and they think that was how I caught
lockjaw.
Malaria?
No. I ended up getting, I think, encephalitis. Yeah.
I've gotten hooks in my hand before. It's
spinal
meningitis,
no fun. And it turned into, it got all the way up my head, I think.
The dangers of fishing. Ugh. Bill took a hook in the jaw today. He's out 2 to 4 weeks.
It happens.
He's day to day.
We normally fish this lake in the fall when the water's down, and every tournament somebody comes in and they have ripped the bottom half of their motor off.
Have you ever gone to a tournament and there's guys like his shoulder hurts or something? He's reeling through the pain.
Yes, a guy in my club. He came to the tournament and he's
fishing
like,
injuries.
I don't know if
love
I'm going
to
be able to make it. Because he had an elbow. He had like tennis elbow, but it's fishing elbow.
Man. He's just going to play through the pain. Rub some dirt on it. Get out there, fisherman.
No, he had a little wrap for his arm, and he had like some was it, like icy hot afterwards and stuff. But he
was on the training table for a little bit.
It was what Drew Beam was talking about.
It's
after
all about
a long
recovery.
Day. Yeah, it was pitch recovery. He was out there icing down and serious stuff. He was doing stretches in the morning. I was like, good for you.
What do you guys make of Ben Hammond, the point guard from D.C., former Rhode Island commitment, that we had got ourselves so excited about last week, and then he abruptly cancels his visit over the weekend, or Tennessee cancels the visit, whatever you want to call
it. I mean, that's the way I heard it.
Upon further reflection about it, I mean, we already had Bishop Boswell coming in.
I don't know. I kind of gotten myself – into a mental space where it's like, okay, we're going to take this guy. We're going to take Mabor. We're going to stick them on the end of the bench. A little developmental action. Mm-hmm. That'll be our 13, of course, Lanier. So, you know, I'd kind of gotten a feeling of comfort there. And now it's kind of, well, I don't know. What are we going to do?
How are you feeling about Lanier?
I mean, good until I haven't heard anything bad. Everybody says we're going to get him. Everybody says it's a done deal. Everybody says the coaches are expecting him.
I've seen that Kentucky and Duke are now linked to Chaz Lanier.
Yeah, but he's got that do not. I'm sure they can get around it. The other thing is he did not get invited to the NBA Combine.
He did not. That is correct.
He got invited to the G League Combine, and he said, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, that's weird because he did have the no contact tag, but there's reports from I can't remember his name. It's a seaofblue.com said that he has heard from Kentucky. Did he remove the no contact tag, or can I go ahead and wave the banner for tampering here?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he contacted them. I would, like, even if Tennessee is where I want to go, I would contact Duke, Kentucky, whoever you know are the teams that historically cheat and buy players. I would contact them just so that when you do go to Tennessee that they know, hey, you know, it's a negotiation thing. Hey, I'm talking to these other schools too. And then that's the way you get the biggest NIL package out of Tennessee.
Sure.
It doesn't make any sense to just go there, right? I'd play these. It's a business. I'd play them against each other. And if at that point it's on Tennessee, like you have to put together a big package for him and make it enticing, which I assume we have the money and the wherewithal to do.
I agree with you completely, but there's always part of me that wants them to say, no, I don't care about the money. I want Tennessee, and that's it. Because I love those coaches, and I love that fan base and that place.
Well, that might,
but he's never been here, so I don't.
Why can't you do both?
Oh, sure. No, I would.
I think that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, from all accounts, he wants to be here at Tennessee and play for Rick Barnes and a little closer home to the Nashville area that he grew up in, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, when you sit down with the Spire folks or whoever you're negotiating that deal with, it's, you know, you're not sticking it to Rick Barnes. You're sticking it to them, and like, that's what they're there for. Is hey man, I've got Duke is offering, you know, $500,000. Kentucky's offering $650,000. So I'm going to need y'all to beat that,
or at least come close.
We throw $700,000. These are rectally derived numbers. I don't know what the numbers are in this fact, but that's how I would play it if I were him.
No, have you heard the number for Adu to Arkansas? Have you heard the number that's been thrown out?
I've already forgotten it because all
it's
these
like
numbers.
It's like 1.2.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's silly. Silly money.
I mean, but it's Cal. He's got the people. He's got, you know, they went with him.
Well, if Adu's worth 1.2, then I would think Lanier is a seven-figure guy.
Yep. Yep.
So Connect was a seven-figure guy in retrospect. I don't know if that's what he's got, but should have.
I know he didn't start there, but I'm sure he ended up. Well,
yeah, that's it. I wonder if you can renegotiate these things. It's like, hey,
probably only imagine.
I would say they have bonuses and escalators.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say there's no way you Spire's not going to go and be like, hey, you're not really having a great like the rumor was that Freddie DeLeon was making over $1 million last year. I doubt they went to him midway through the season and said, hey, you're not exactly playing a whole lot. We're going to cut that in half. I don't think it works
way. That would not be a good look to future prospects.
No, it'd be terrible.
But, I mean, how long is it until one of these kids who signs for an average amount of money comes back to the and they blow up and they're having a Connect-like season,
mm-hmm.
goes back and says, hey, you know, I signed here for 100. I've got guys on my team who aren't producing nearly as much as I am or making four or five times. I'm not playing until you bump me up. How long until we have an NIL holdout? You know, it's going to happen.
I know. I'd like to say it won't because that just diminishes their value if they don't play.
Kind of already happened here. I mean, he didn't say I'm not playing. He just transferred.
Yeah, but he's saying – you're talking about like
in
season.
The season.
Yeah, that'd be
– Oh, I don't
know. Hey, big game coming up this weekend, Coach. It would be a shame if I couldn't make it.
Ankle's feeling a little sore. Might want to rest me.
I don't know,
rest
man.
Myself.
You getting on thin ice.
It gets
there.
So messy.
Imagine going back to 1989 and telling Johnny Majors there was going to be a day when players were going to opt out of bowl games. He'd have looked at you like you were crazy.
What are you talking about? I'm not going to play in the bowl
game. Here we are. Coach, you know what? I've had a great regular season and everything. I don't really think our team's equipped to make a deep run into March. I'm just going to shut it down and get ready for the draft. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you.
Had to tell Ray Mears that back in the day.
But if you're a coach, what do you do? I mean, because like you said, it's not the coaches that are signing the deals. They're not inking the money. If I'm Rick Barnes and someone told me that, I'd be calling Spire. Hey, let's do whatever we can here.
I think a guy like Barnes would be so mad
at the situation.
And that's where the character part of it comes in and recruiting the right people that fit the culture, all that stuff that sounds cliche, but really is so important. Mm-hmm. I would be stunned if it happened here. I mean, that feels like a thing that would happen to Calipari.
Yeah.
And God bless him. He picked up, he brought one of his Kentucky guys today, Adu Thero, I guess.
Thero, yeah.
6'8", yep. Big man, who I feel like he had a big game against us in the, I guess they all did, in the last one here at Thompson Bowling. Their big men pretty much dominated that game.
No, yeah, he was good in that one.
I get him and who was the other?
Onyenso is the
Onyenso. Yeah, he
was good.
Whew. Thero's more of a combo guy. Not really a big man.
Where did Onyenso land?
I think he
was a nice
decided
player.
To go to the draft.
That would make sense. He's a nice player. All right, why do we continue? We'll get to your phone calls. Stay with us. The Drive rolling right along. Monday afternoon edition of the show. Back with more right after this. Back here on the Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Houston Crash Bear, Tucker Harlan is here getting ready for the top 4 at 4, which I'm sure will be excellent. AJ Russell does have one more year, I'm told. He is a sophomore, so I'll be interested to see what, assuming all goes well and he's able to pitch a little bit this year, it pretty much sounds like he's going to be a bullpen guy, just spot use. Do we get him back as a starter in 2025, or does he become a bullpen guy?
I would guess starter, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We'll see what the rest of this season looks like.
It'd be interesting to see what the actual injury was.
Yeah. Well.
What about Causey and Snead? Do those guys have extra years?
I'm looking.
Tucker Harlan is on it, ladies and gentlemen. We go to the phones. Phil is up first today on the Drive. What's up, Phil?
What's up, Debbie?
Hey, Philly.
That's good to have Houston back in there.
Oh, man. I missed him so.
Oh.
I missed him on that morning show. I used to enjoy calling in and conversing with him, having long conversations. I can't have that fun no more.
John and Bob won't take your call?
I have never called them.
Oh.
I never heard a phone call on the show anyway, so.
Well, they'll take calls.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I'll put in a good word for you. I say my friend Phil wants to talk to you guys. They'll make it happen.
I'm sure you will.
I will.
Guys, number one, hope we end up number one. Tennessee's history in all sports, number being number one, don't last too long, does it?
Except for that time it did. 1998 lasted a good month or so until the very end. I mean, it hasn't lasted long for anybody in baseball. It's just been this curse. What was it? Miami, I think, was the last team to go through.
It was one of the Florida. It was either Miami or Florida State, maybe, and it was 1998 or 1999.
I mean,
it's been 25 years.
That's a heavy crown to wear. I would prefer not to wear it myself.
A lot of times they don't even make it, Phil, to the series.
Yeah. Well. You're right. That was a Miami team that was the last one did it, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. 1999.
Yeah. And this is the first time I've watched a lot of SEC baseball this week. And my conclusion is there's no great team in the SEC. I don't think SEC is as good as it was last year.
No. They're missing, obviously, LSU was dominant last year, and then Florida got hot at the right time. But – I think a lot of Tennessee fans, and a lot of us are casual. I know a lot of fans don't spend a lot of time watching other teams play, but you hear things, oh, man, our pitching isn't that good. And then you go and look at the stats, and they're up near the top, one of the best ERAs in the country. And I think that's to your point, Phil, is there are a lot of teams that struggle that just aren't perfect, right? And it's hard to have
– Yeah, not much pitching. Nobody's got any good pitching.
It's hard to have two or three great starters. That's what made it so disappointing last year is you had four when you count Burns, and you were able to get to Omaha, but you just bad draw, man. Kind of like we say in basketball. You're playing LSU and Skeens that first game, and then you're behind the eight ball.
Yeah, but we got Kentucky's got a one game lead on us, right?
Correct.
And then we're tied to Arkansas.
Yes.
So basically, Tennessee probably has to sweep these next two series to win the SEC regular season championship.
Is that something that's important to you, Phil?
Well. Sort of. I mean, I'm not bare, though. I don't care nothing about the SEC tournament.
I'm kind of like that, too. I mean, yeah. We've gotten to this point where we've been to Omaha twice already with Tony and really should have been three times, maybe four times. He'll continue to tell you that 2020 team was among his best.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, my focus as far as team goals are just winning it all and getting to Omaha and getting – further than we have. We haven't really done much any time that we've gotten there ever in my lifetime anyway. And I mean, the SEC championship is nice. I suppose I'd rather win it than not. But I'm all about Omaha and getting far there.
Yeah, well, it just I kind of get upset stomach just thinking Kentucky can win an SEC championship many
times. That's true. I mean, you know what? Let them have it. They ain't going to do nothing. They play small ball. You can't win doing that anymore. And they will know. They will know. They will remember, even if they hang a banner, that we walked up in their kitchen, made a sandwich, and threw the cheese wrapper on the floor.
So what's the reason why they didn't let this guy visit? This was on Tennessee's end, and they decided not to come in?
I don't know, Phil. I have no inside information. It was very surprising when I saw that flash across the timeline last night.
Well, one of my friends says the staff they're the ones that stopped it. They're the ones that stopped the visit.
That's what I heard,
maybe
too.
They're trying to put a bunch of money for a Lanier on NIL now is what they're doing.
I have heard that. I've heard that with the other teams sniffing
but
around.
I feel like that should be done independently of whatever you do with Hammond or anybody else. I mean, you got to go all in on Lanier, right?
It's like Hammond was going to take a whole
siphon
lot
off
of
a
money.
Bunch of money away from Lanier.
No, none at all.
Yeah, and you still don't have a backup point guard. I guess Lanier could be your backup point guard if he comes in, can't he?
Well, I mean, you've got Jemai, and then you've also got a true freshman coming in.
Well, Jemai's not a point guard. Never has been, never will be.
Yeah, I mean, he's played there before. Who is the Zieglers, the C.J. Watsons, those guys, they're just – you don't see as much of them anymore. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of combo guards out there.
No, but we did have it when we had Bone and you had Lamonte Turner, yeah. And even Bowden could play some point in a pinch. But that, you know, Bowden won. That's the same thing as telling Mayshak to play.
Yeah,
point.
I was going to say I didn't feel like Bowden was any worse at it than Mayshak.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it means they're seeing what they do. I still think they need a couple more sign a couple more players. You see what Alabama's done in the portal?
Yeah, they're going to be a problem, Philly.
And I saw this weekend that Jeff Goodman was saying that all these players were going to Baylor and Alabama because of NIL money. Only damn way they're going is NIL money. They're not going down there just to because Nate Oates and what's his name is a good coach? Drew?
No, it's dollars. I mean, I knew Bama would be pretty good this year, but they've loaded up.
I mean,
they may be better than were last year.
Number one overall team 2 years ago, Final Four this year. I mean, yeah, it's Nate Oates. I mean, say what you will about him, and we could say a lot. He's one of the best coaches in college basketball.
Yeah, he's a good coach. Right, Russell, you're familiar with that Barktorf talent rating?
Torvik?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tennessee's ranked 10th, 9th in the country in talent for next year, and they don't even have Lanier signed yet. So how is that possible in all these other schools that they're ranking them up higher up and we got more talent listed on our roster? That don't make no sense to me. Look at that thing. You might be entertained by it.
I think I saw good where if we add Lanier, we'll jump to 4.
Let's go.
Really?
Yeah, I think he would bump us all the way up to 4 in the talent rankings.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you.
Thank you, Phil. I mean, I've been telling you guys for years now, eventually y'all are going to listen to me. You don't have to worry about Rick Barnes when it comes to roster management. You're going to have a good roster every year. He's going to put together a talented, deep, athletic, coachable roster. And it's happened the last couple of years. Really, the only year, you know, we had that gap year after Grant and Admiral left, and that 2020 team was not going to make the tournament before it was canceled due to COVID. But other than that, the last, I mean, what's it been? 5 out of 6 seasons since he's been here have been excellent, just in terms of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets back to matchups and game management type situations and all those things which have traditionally gone against us in March. But we're due, baby. We are due.
That's the spirit.
We are Jonas Adu.
It kind of feels like the baseball team a little bit too. Like it feels like whatever team ends up breaking through is going to be one that you didn't really.
You ran into, really, we've got to go. We make it to Omaha and we've got to play Skeens in the first round.
Yeah.
Like how does that even work?
We got jobbed. Like, do you think if we're in Florida's slot last year on the opposite side, like, do you think we make it?
It's a great question. I don't remember.
I remember when that came out, I hated our draw in Omaha.
Yeah. Because you had to play Skeens.
Right.
And you knew they were going to play him first round. I don't know. I don't remember enough about their pitching setup.
Mm.
Well, you would have had to play. Well, that's wrong actually, because Wake Forest was on the side of LSU.
It's crazy to me that on paper, our pitching staff is not nearly as good as just the names aren't as good, and maybe statistically it's the same. I have to go back and compare ERAs and whips to, you know, this year to last year. But I mean, you had Dolander, Andrew Lindsay, Drew Beam, and Chase Burns last year. Yeah, I mean, you 4 deep in your starting rotation. And this year it kind of feels like we've got Beam and then we're just sort of cobbling it together, like making it up as we go along. I don't know, they have a general plan of piggyback starts for, you know, the Friday and Sunday.
We got like 6 arms.
But it doesn't feel – I'm not as confident in it this year as I was last year, which I guess we always knew was going to be the case. Tony said before the season even began that it was going to be kind of the opposite, whereas last year was pitching heavy and a little bit lacking in the lineup. This year it's going to be the opposite in many regards. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number 2, the top 4 at 4. More of your phone calls coming up.